We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All systems are go.
Ladies and gentlemen, Chris Van Vliet!
Greetings and salutations, my friends. Welcome back once again to another audio adventure here on Insight. I'm CVV, Chris Van Vliet. So good to have you with us. And isn't technology a beautiful thing? I mean, not only has it brought you and I together for this right now, but in the case of this interview, we did it with Powerhouse Hobbs in his car as he was leaving the gym. Yeah, of course he was leaving the gym. I mean, have you seen the size of this man? And we dive deep into his story of how he was a skinny kid in high school. Yeah, I can't believe it either, but that's what he says. A skinny kid in high school to the imposing figure that we now see in AEW. And I also love how open and honest he was about mental health and the importance of talking to someone when you're dealing with something in your life. You can find him on social media at True Will Hobbs on Instagram. He's at True Willie Hobbs on Twitter. And you can find me, if you're looking for me, I'm at Chris Van Vliet. If it's your first time here, please take a second right now to click subscribe or follow on whatever app that you're listening on right now. If that app happens to be Apple Podcasts, if you're listening on your iPhone, it'd be awesome if you could leave a review on there because I read one out on every single episode as my way to say thank you. Thanks for being on this journey with me. And also, like, hopefully that maybe you'll want to leave a review and then you'll hear your name. Shout it out in your message, shout it out on the show. So this is what Never117 did. Never117 is our fan of the week. And they say, the source for interviews in entertainment. And the was the T-H-E-E, the source. Chris crushes the interviews, whether it's John Cena or The Rock, Justin Bieber or Anne Hathaway. This is a must subscribe. Well, thank you so much, Never117, for the kind words. Yeah. The Rock, John Cena, Justin Bieber, Anne Hathaway. And if you listen to the podcast, you know that we interview people from all different walks of life because I just want to figure out, like, how did they get to be as successful as they are? How can we reverse engineer their story back to where we are right now? So thank you for the review. Please, if you could leave one, that'd be awesome. If you have Spotify, they have ratings now. So click the 5 stars on there. All right, let's dive into this right now. Please welcome Powerhouse Hobbs. Dude, it's a pleasure to have you on. Thank you so much.
Yeah, pleasure's all mine, man.
We're in the car right now, dude. Where are you? Are you just left the gym?
I just left the gym. Just pulled up in front of my crib. So
are you an early gym goer, a late gym goer? Or is it just kind of like, you know, whenever it fits into your schedule?
I like to get it done in the morning, but I was running a little bit late today.
When you say morning, are we talking like 6 a.m., 5 a.m.?
Hell no. I did that for 2 years. Like God used to get up at 3 a.m., be in the gym by 3:30, go to work by 5:30. And yeah, I go at least now by like 9:30, 10 o'clock, maybe 10:30.
Well, so, you know, different when your full-time job is wrestling, right?
Yeah. You got to keep the body right, man. Stay tight.
What was the job you had before AEW signed you?
So I worked at Facebook and Instagram. I was running their facilities department. So I ran about 4 different buildings. And then I got a call saying, hey, you know, we're going to give you a month off with pay. And I'm like, okay, cool. I'm with it. You know, take my son Bam Bam to school, my older son, Julian. Then I got home about 2:30, got a call about 3:45 saying, hey, we're going to terminate you and your crew and let you guys go. I'm like, so, but everything happens for a reason. So I'm glad I got let go and living my dream and doing things and handling business.
Yeah, look where it's led you now. It's amazing.
Yeah, man. It's crazy. I was telling Christian, just like, I can't believe, you know, I'm living this dream and I'm all these places every week, you know. So.
Is your son's given name Bam Bam?
No, it should be because that's how he only responds. His actual name is Royce.
But, very different from Bam Bam.
Yeah, everybody calls him Bam Bam. I'm a big Flintstones dude, so that's how I got the name Bam Bam.
Well, I wasn't sure if it was Flintstones or Bam Bam Bigelow.
It could be both. It could be both. I mean, I got some Bam Bam Bigelow gear, you know, that I've worn before, so.
The gear you're wearing now, I like it. It's a tip of the hat to Harlem Heat.
Yeah. Those are my dudes growing up, man. I just wish I would have had a matching do-rag, you know, to come out with, you know? So, but those are my guys growing up, like just the intimidation factor, how, you know, they talk the same type of jive that my grandparents talk, you know, like it's going to be all like neck bone sucker. You know, my grandparents said that stuff to the T. So those are my dudes growing up.
So
plus they look like me. So that was a good thing.
Yeah. When you were growing up, what was it that initially got you into pro wrestling?
Pro wrestling was already on by the time I came along. So my grandparents moved from a small town in Mississippi, right down the street from the Cow Palace. So they grew up. They took my dad and my aunts and uncles all the time, almost every other weekend, to go see Ray Stevens, Pat Patterson, High Chief Peter Marvilla, Pepper Gomez, you know, those guys. So by the time I was born, wrestling was already on TV. So I just got hooked.
At what point did you go, man, that's something that I want to try?
I knew I always wanted to be a wrestler from like I was 4 or 5, because that's all I cared about. Nothing else. I mean, I played football and basketball and baseball, but wrestling was all that mattered. And I remember going to a live show and I was like, okay, I know a school I could go to, and it was APW, you know, which was on Beyond the Mat. And I'm like, all right, I grew up going to those independent shows and saved up my money, what I had, and pulled the trigger. And that was it. We had 23 people that started off with us. I was only two at the end of the whole class.
Man.
So,
yeah. But look, man, there's a lot of people that when they're 4 or 5 years old want to be a pro wrestler. And then, I don't know, something changes as they get older and they lose track of that dream. For you, you stayed on it. It's so impressive.
That's all I ever wanted. Like coming home from school, we watched old wrestling tapes, watching wrestling on Mondays with my grandpa, having him flip the remote between the Monday Night Wars, and, you know, trading tapes with my friends about different pay-per-views, me getting mad at my grandparents for calling the cable company and trying to order the pay-per-view, but they were saying the wrong name. Like my grandma called one time and said, hey, I want to order WrestleManiac. And I'm like, oh, it's WrestleMania, you know, them not understanding, you know, what she wanted to order. So, but it was always on, man, having figures and posters, draw my own, you know, wrestlers on with pen and paper and crayons, you know. So
I heard you say in another interview that you were skinny growing up, which is very hard to believe, but like, yeah, how skinny are we talking?
I graduated high school at 142 pounds.
At the same height that you are now?
I was shorter. I grew, you know, genetics happened. So, you know, come from a line of big bone people. So, you know, it happened. I think my first wrestling match, I got thrown in a battle royal. I was still training, and just because I had some generic gear, and I was one of the first one to have boots, I got thrown in a battle royal. And I thought I was in business then. Like, you know, all the other students were like, yo, you're in the battle royal. Oh my gosh. Yeah, I came in, got some forearms punches in, got chopped by everybody, got kicked, punched, and whoop, out the door. So that was a highlight for me for about like 2 years.
Dude, if you were 142 pounds when you graduated from high school, you are quite literally double the size now.
Yeah. I'm a whole different person.
Wow. What do you think is the biggest difference between Powerhouse Hobbs, Will Hobbs, that's sitting in front of me right now, and when you debuted originally, you know, 12 years ago, 13 years ago?
Confidence. Having the right people around me to teach me. Knowing my abilities, knowing what I can do, what I can't do, how to actually work a crowd, how to have fun, and how to just be myself. I think the best thing about me is when I come off in the ring and I smile and give that snarl, that's actually me. I've been doing that snarl since Pop Warner football, you know, the PAL league. I've been doing that for the longest. And I used to do that just to keep people, like bullies, away from me because they thought I was crazy. So,
can you give us a little right now? Oh,
you should see my daughter do it. She can do it. She can do it pretty well.
What was it that originally got you on AEW's radar, do you think?
I know a phone call got called in, and you know, next thing I know, I had QT Marshall send me a text, and I looked at it and I was like, bullshit. Like QT Marshall is texting me, and I sat on it for a little bit, and then, you know, I responded back, and, you know, it was one of those things like, okay, should I risk flying all the way to Jacksonville and maybe get COVID? Do I say, hey, you know, I thank you, but if, you know, when things open back up, I'm like, man, I was like, I got to be a fool if I say no to this. So I remember QT asking me, hey, are you local to Jacksonville? I said, no, but I'll find a way to get there. Gave him a thumbs up. And when I got there, I was just amazed at Daly's place. Everyone was friendly to me. I got to the back, looked on the board. I'm like, okay, I got a match tonight. Okay, cool. Orange Cassidy. Okay, cool. I've been following the program, you know, knowing he's in the big feud with Chris Jericho. I'm like, okay, cool. Then the rest happened. 12.36 seconds later, I lost to Orange Cassidy. So, you know, but, you know, I think it's one of those things that I could care less if I won or not. My main thing was just, how can I help out this show? Yeah. And my main thing is I Orange beat me, and it was on, and I knew the pay-per-view was coming up with him and Jericho, and I knew that was going to get put on like a highlight reel, you know, just because my size and his size, and it was. So,
and what do you think it was? It really, like, what was the breakout moment? Was it the battle royal, you think?
I think the battle royal was that in my match on that Saturday Night Dynamite with Darby.
Yeah.
Before the pay-per-view, you know, I think local people in California knew who I was, but as far as like other people seeing me AEW Dark, they knew who Will Hobbs was. And that battle royal, it was crazy because it was the anniversary of my brother's death. And it was just like, okay, I'm in this battle royal. I think I was like one of the last six at the end. And I had a little moment with Sydal and hitting that spine buster. And I had a moment with Archer. And then at that point, I'm thinking in my head, I'm like, I should be here, you know? And everything took off after that.
Yeah. Was there something that when you went through the curtain on your way back after that match, did Tony Khan or anyone else say something to you that made you go, okay, yeah, that worked?
Yeah. Tony was yelling. He was like, Willie. Let's go, let's go. And I'm like, shit, let's go. Let's do this. What's next? What are we doing next week? And I think the following week was when I saved Mox from Cage and Starks. That was a big moment for me. Like, for Mox to, you know, to give me that perfect introduction, the way he introduced me, I was like, I was ready to go then too.
Well, there's something about seeing you in the ring, right? You have this like real presence about you. You're a big man. And I'm so curious, growing up, who do you think was the best big man?
For me, growing up, I was always a, and I'm not saying that because, you know, he's been a mentor to him. I think like me personally, like watching was like, I love the way Yoko worked, how quick he was for his size. I loved how Mark Henry worked. And, you know, just those guys, like, I was even impressed with, like, with Big Daddy V. Like, when he threw that little back kick, like, got off his feet, like, ain't he, like, 500 pounds doing that? So it was, I loved all the big guys because it took so much for the little guys to take him down. And they could just hit him with one move, like when Vader would hit somebody with that Vader splash and just look at him. I'm like, okay. That anybody knows me, that's, I love Vader.
This episode is brought to you by Athletic Greens, which is a super important part of my morning routine. With one scoop of Athletic Greens, you get 75 high-quality vitamins, whole food-source superfoods, and probiotics to help you start your day right. This special blend of ingredients supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, recovery, focus, aging, all the things. And best of all, it tastes amazing, and it's really helped with better sleep quality and recovery for me. Whether you eat keto, paleo, vegan, dairy-free, gluten-free, whatever it is, it fits right into your diet. Look, lots of people take some kind of multivitamin, and I think it's important to choose one with high-quality ingredients that your body will actually absorb. That's why I drink Athletic Greens every morning, and that's why it's recommended by professional athletes in all kinds of different sports. Right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition, especially since it's cold and flu season right now. It's just one scoop in a cup of water every day. That's it. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health. And to make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/insight. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/insight to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. Athletic Greens.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Do you think there was ever a point in your career, like, I mean, it's crazy that you got discovered like a decade into your career, especially with how talented you are and the amazing look that you have. Was there ever a point where you were like, man, this thing might not happen?
Yeah, there was that those few times, but then I would think about, okay, well, what would my grandma and my grandpa say? Mm. Like, you know, just they raised us and they didn't teach us to quit. So whatever way you got to find a way to get there, that's what my grandma would say, you better get there. So you better find a way.
With doing, you did some enhancement stuff for WWE. Did you ever feel like that was ever a possibility?
With them?
Yeah.
I did at one time, but then it got to the point where it was like, okay, they're just bringing you in just to do a half and stuff. Okay, cool. And then you have people, you know, that actually are on the roster and be like, hey, man, when are they going to give you a shot? Like, you know. So, and you just, let alone guys that actually worked there that said that to me, that let me know I could go, but I had talent. So,
and then it must have seemed like such a completely different situation where you fly yourself into Jacksonville and you're not just there to be an extra. You're like, you're on the show that first time you're on AEW.
Yeah, I was, there was no guarantee that I was going to get a match.
Huh.
You know,
and did you, so you paid for your own flight. Did you also pay for your own hotel when you got there too?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Paid
for everything. Car, flight, you know, hotel, food, all that stuff. You know, I got the catering when I was there, but my own like way of getting there and getting back, that was all on Will. That was me. So, you know, you got to spend money to make money. So,
well, that's what we like to call betting on yourself. And like,
yeah, if you don't do it, nobody else is going to do it.
Yeah.
You know, I was always told by my grandparents, you know, you're special, this and that, but once you get out in this world, you got to prove it to everyone else. So that's what I tell my 16-year-old. So
walk me through, you find out that you're going to be wrestling CM Punk on TV.
It was crazy. Like, I remember, like, okay, you would ask me a few years ago, would I wrestle, like, would I be wrestling him 5 years ago, whatever. I would have told you no.
He wasn't even wrestling.
No. And just the fact that I'm wrestling him from the 20,000 plus people, Arthur Ashe Stadium, cable TV. Like, come on now. Like, I must have been dreaming. And he knew how special that night was for me. And it was about a little over a month after my mom passed away. So he knew what my mindset was and how I wanted this match to come off. And I can't thank him enough and tell him thank you all the time. So that was just special.
With so many of the things you're mentioning here, like, you know, your brother passing away, your mom mm-hmm. passing away, and I'm so sorry about that. How have you been able to get over those really difficult moments in your life?
Having great people around me. Going to therapy has helped me out. Not having those feelings jumbled in, because I believe if you have too much bottled in, it can destroy you. Mm. You just have to find a way to get it out. And wrestling was always a way for my family to connect. Like, we would have like parties, just, you know, people, my family coming over, watching wrestling, and, you know, so wrestling was always a way for us to connect, and it's helped me out so much, you know.
I'm guessing there's still parties going on, but now they're watching you and you're not there.
Yeah, they better be watching me if they know what's good for them. They want a Christmas present or something. Like they better be watching.
Where did the transition officially happen, where you went from Will Hobbs to powerhouse Will Hobbs to then just powerhouse Hobbs?
The night I hit Cody Rhodes in the face with that FTW belt. That was the end of Will Hobbs. And then the next week I made my powerhouse Hobbs debut against Lee Johnson. And then that was it. So, you know, that's the night Will Hobbs went away.
And where, or how was the like call officially made to change your name?
Tony looked at me and was like, powerhouse. And I was like, all right, let's go. I thought he might have saw some of my clips in the gym, but I don't know where he got it from. And I'm loving it. And it's one of those things, like, you look at Hacksaw Butch Reed. I'm like, people called him Hacksaw. And I'm like, okay. And I know for a fact Butch Reed was a fan of mine. I've talked to his son. And, you know, I'm like, okay, I'm up there with Butch Reed, like, powerhouse, Hacksaw. Even like Hacksaw Jim Duggan, they call him Hacksaw. Like, anybody with those like strong names, like, you know, it's my way of like kind of almost carrying on and paying homage to him.
Well, look, if anybody was going to be called powerhouse, like, you fit the bill. If you try to call me powerhouse, it'd be like, it doesn't make any sense.
It could work. I vouch for you.
You might be the only one. I don't know. I got your bag.
That's all that matters.
What do you think has been the biggest lesson you've learned from teaming with Taz and being part of Team Taz?
Patience.
In the ring, you mean?
In the ring. Stalking. Being true to myself. Doing what I feel. Do stuff that feels natural. And put my size over. Like, I'm a big dude. And when I work, it's just like I like stalking people. Like I like. Taz has taught me that whatever you do in the ring, make the people in the arena feel it, but make the people at home feel it. Mm. And when I hit someone, I see people. I go around and I look and I see people cringe. And I look at the camera and I know there's people at home turning away. Like once you see me do something. So that's what I give off.
Who's on your radar now? Who do you really want to have a match with that you haven't been able to work with yet?
I want to work Eddie Kingston. I want to work John Moxley. I definitely want to work FTR. I'm throwing this out there. I'm looking at the camera. I want to work Mark Henry. The Young Bucks. I want to work people that have my style and who go against my style. I think everything meshes so well.
What do you think's like the one match that maybe it's the CM Punk match, but what's the one match that you're like so super proud of? And it might not even be in AEW. It could be somewhere else in your career, but what's the one match that you're really proud of?
So there's, I just answered this question. So it's my match with, I think the match that these matches had all eyes on me because I felt each one was a test. Like my match with Christian, that was a test. Like, okay. The way I looked at it was I felt people wanted to, people felt like maybe can Will go. So my match with Christian and the following match with Hangman Page, you know, then the match with CM Punk, obviously, then my series of three matches with Dante. So all those matches for me are like, just going up, like, you know, can I feel like just personally, like, can we, the way I look at it, can we test Will? Like, yeah. And I felt everyone, I've hit a home run on everyone. I've turned heads and I made people like, okay, this guy can be a, you know, champion shit material, you know?
Yeah. Do you feel an added pressure? You know, you have three kids, you're providing for them, your dad. Mm-hmm. Do you feel an added pressure now every week to go out and absolutely?
Yeah, I got to. I can't fail. I can't fail my kids. I refuse to. I'm a believer that I like to think, and I know because my son has told me that I've accomplished my dream. But even though I accomplished it, I still have goals. I still have things to set. And I want them to look at me and be like, okay, well, dad's doing his thing. You know, we can do whatever we want. But having that pressure of going home and have those eyes look at me knowing I fail, that shit ain't never going to happen. Like, Will's not doing that. We not doing that. So. That I refuse to ever let that happen.
Are you raising some up and coming wrestlers, you think?
I think so. Bam Bam likes to wrestle everybody. So I only tell him, you know, you can wrestle with your brother and dad. You know, we can't take that to school because we've had a little instance before. but it's possible. I mean, if they want to dibble and dabble in it, cool. I mean, if they don't, that's whatever y'all want to do. You know, all support.
Do they have your size?
So my 16-year-old is a human beast. He's are you ready for this?
Okay.
He's 6'5". 12, 13 pounds, size 17 shoe. And he hasn't even started puberty yet. And they're saying he's going to be anywhere from 6'10 to 7'1.
And has he been recruited for any sport?
Well, he's playing high school basketball now. I would hope so. Yeah, he's going to a great Catholic high school to play basketball. But you just like look at him. I'm like, if I had your height, man, you know. But he's a beast. Bam Bam is off the charts with everything. And my daughter, she's just off the charts too. So.
Jeez.
I got some super human babies.
Amazing that your 16-year-old's bigger than you, and you're so big.
Yeah, I'm like looking at him. I told him the other day I might take the trash out. He stood up and got off the couch, and I looked at him. I said, "Boy, just go take out the garbage, like duck when you talk to me. Like, you know, knock it down a few inches."
I thoroughly enjoy this, and I want to be respectful for your time. Because you just got out of the gym here. What day was it at the gym, by the way?
Just cardio.
Just cardio? You know,
just cardio today.
What do the other days look like? What's the split look like?
Tomorrow, what are we doing? Tomorrow, we're doing a little chesticles and triceps and some abdominals.
International chest day. I love it.
Yeah, you know, that's how we do it. We got to.
So is it push, pull, and then legs? Is that what you're on?
Yeah.
Nice.
I'm trying to give away all my secrets, Chris. Yeah. Come on now. You don't.
Sorry. Sorry. Just trying to dig here. I want to be as large as you.
Don't do that. You'll try to take my job. Then we're going to have problems.
I don't. That's not happening anytime. You can take my job. That's much more likely.
No.
I end every conversation with the same question because I'm all about gratitude. And I want to know for you, Will, what are three things in your life that you're grateful for right now?
My family. I'm grateful that I work for an amazing company. And that one thing that I want to say, last week when I was in the grocery store, I had some kids come up to me and just, "Are you Powerhouse Hobbs?" And, you know, it's so cool. And I'm just grateful that I can motivate people. So, you know, I come from a 2-square-mile city, East Palo Alto, and it's a former murder capital of the United States. And, you know, and there's great things happening out there now with Facebook being there. And just, I'm grateful I didn't succumb to, you know, being locked in a penitentiary or dying at an early age because of my grandparents. So
look where you are now, man. Like, this is so exciting. I feel like you're just getting started in age.
I am. Just think about where I'm going to be. Like, it's crazy. And, you know, I sit back and I write down my goals and shit's going to happen. Like I said, I refuse to come home and look at them and fail. Like, that's.
Yeah. That's oh man, it's so powerful. And I can't stress this enough. It's so powerful for people to hear that it's one thing to have goals, but it's another thing to write down your goals.
Yeah.
Like that makes them real. Yes.
Yeah. You have to. I remember drawing me like 6 years old, holding up a championship belt, you know, and first step is winning this ladder match and then kicking whoever ass has that TNT championship. So, you know.
Well, I'm so excited for what's next for you. And I know that if we were to have the same conversation at this time next year, we'll be talking about like a lot of very different stuff.
We should. We need to make it happen.
Let's do the next one in person.
Okay. I'm down. Let's do it.
Thank you so much, Will.
Thank you, Chris. Appreciate you.
Okay. Big thanks to Powerhouse Hobbs for the great conversation. And of course, we wouldn't be here without you. So a big thank you to you for joining us and for listening all the way until the end. Share this with someone who you know will be inspired by this. Take a screenshot. Let us know that you're listening. Tag us on social media. Will is at True Will Hobbs on Instagram. He's at True Willie Hobbs on Twitter. And I'm at Chris Van Vliet. And I'll leave you with this quote that I love so much. It's an amazing quote. It's from Erica Jong, who says, "If you don't risk anything, you risk even more." Be great, be grateful. We'll see you on the next one, which is tomorrow, for some more insight.